When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
How about Cap'n Crunch's Crunch Berries with breakfast?
Whoa, Dad, we're on
Crunch Island. He's Jean Lafitte.
And he stole our crunch.
Quick, the zip line.
He's getting away.
Throw our last Crunch Berry.
No!
No one steals my Crunch Berries.
I think you mean my Crunch Berries. Choose your own Crunch Venture with Cap'n Crunch.
1, 2, 3, 4. Those are numbers, but you already knew that. If you want to know what number you're going to pay each month for your car, use Kelley Blue Book My Wallet on Auto Trader. They're really good at numbers. Auto Trader.
Fellow Falcoholics, what is up? Welcome to another episode of the Dirty Brids and Brews podcast. I'm your host, Kevin Knight, at Falcoholic Kevin. Joined today by a good friend of mine, Daniel Flick, at by Daniel Flick on the Twitters. He's over at Sports Illustrated Falcon Report. Daniel, welcome back. How are you doing, my friend?
Oh, Kevin, always a great day joining the pod. I think I say this every time I join. Love coming on. Truly enjoy it. So I'm ready to roll, man. Lots to cover, and I'm ready for it, man.
Yeah, well, Daniel's been boots on the ground this weekend as the Falcons kicked off rookie minicamp. So it was the first opportunity to see all these new draftees, the UDFAs, and a whole host of tryout players as well. So we will get into that as well as some of the signings and the recent stuff that's been going on with the team on today's show. Before we dive in, folks, real quick, want to bring you word from today's sponsor, BetOnline.ag. Folks, BetOnline is still your number one source for all your summer sports this season, including MLB, golf, NBA, and NHL playoffs. You can get all the latest stats, news, and scores available to follow your favorite teams on their path to the playoffs. You know, I'm sure if you had bet on the Hawks getting the number one pick in the NBA draft, you'd be a very rich person right now because I believe they had a 3% chance of getting the number one overall pick. So I'm sure Adnan will have takes on that coming up on Wednesday's show. But no matter what you want to bet on, guys, you can get the latest odds and lines, including the latest team matchups, player props, and odds on just about every sport out there. So what are you waiting for, folks? Head to that website today, betonline.ag, or use your mobile device to get in on the action. BetOnline, where the game starts. All right. Daniel, I know you were at rookie minicamp, so instead of me feeding you prompts, why don't you talk to me about what you saw? Like, you know, what was, obviously it's minicamp, like, you know, nothing earth shattering is happening. You know, maybe some people think there is, but probably a lot of warm-ups, a lot of drills and stuff like that. But, you know, what was a big takeaway for you from rookie minicamp? Just something you came away feeling after being out there?
Yeah, I think my main takeaway is that I was very glad that the receivers catching passes from Michael Penix were in front of me. Yep. And were able to, a majority of the time, put their hands on the football.
Yeah.
There were a few times Raheem had to, like, move us off of our spot a little bit at one point because of the route concepts that they were running. And I was like, man, if he airmails one of these, I am just cooked. So, he's got a very strong arm. All of the talk about, you know, his arm talent is real. It's very impressive. I also thought it was interesting. The lefty spin was for sure problematic for a few people at times. Again, that's something that that will come with time for everyone on the receiving end of those passes. I think Casey Washington about it after the session, and he was talking about, like, it's a change. It's for sure new, but still your job as a receiver is, like, you know, whenever the ball is in the air, like, you have to go attack it, you have to catch it. So mentality wise I think they're all kind of doing it the same way. Another takeaway, I think Jason McClellan was the only player on the roster who was not on the field. The Falcons staff said that he was inside with a pre-draft injury. He was still kind of nursing a little bit. So that was something that I don't think we really heard a whole lot about until now. So that kind of surprised me, and I'll be curious to hear from Raheem on Tuesday morning if he is if there's anything new on that front. Trying to think. Other than that, a lot of enjoyable interviews after the session. High energy, high character. I think one of my favorite things. I've got a story that's going to publish on this in a few minutes. I think actually, the rookie trio, Atlanta's three interior. their interior defensive line picks of Zion Logue, Brandon Dorlus, and Ruka Rororo met at the combine. We're friends there. And actually joked about, like, there's no way we're all together, right, you know, after the draft. And then they were. Yeah. And so that was really cool to hear about that, how close that they were, how close that they got. And, like, now they're still together in Atlanta. And actually, Rook and Zion are roommates in Flowery Branch. So that's – yeah, I enjoyed that. I thought that was a pretty cool part of that.
Yeah, no, it looked like – I remember I saw like pictures of the scrum around Zion Logue, and it's just like, okay, that's a big guy. That's a big dude. Yeah.
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 Yeah. He is a massive man.
Yeah. Yeah. He's a first off the bus type of player for sure. You can definitely see why they prioritize. I mean, I don't have a problem prioritizing that in the sixth round. I mean, it's like, yep, just go get those guys. At the very least they can intimidate your opponent. From the bus, from the sidelines, hopefully from the field sooner than later. But that's a very cool story. Happy to hear that. And, you know, obviously we're probably going to spend most of the show talking about Penix, but I'm glad you brought up some of the other guys too, just because I know there was, you know, the Brandon Dorlus story about trying to, you know, dap up Michael Penix and be like, oh my God, like, what is happening? Ow. Like, is this guy like this like, every time or what? I don't think I've ever shook hands with someone with 10 and a half inch hands. But it sounds intimidating. That's what, you know, when your dad says, oh yeah, you got to give a firm handshake. It's like, well, with the 10 and a half inch hands, I don't know what you're supposed to do. Like, you're just powerless, against this. But, it sounds like it was a good group. It sounds like there's a good energy in the practice. Let's stick to Penix first, just because that's what everyone wants to hear about, I'm sure. From the clips, it looks like, you know, impressive, right? Impressive thrower. He was always going to really shine in this type of environment where, you know, if he doesn't have pressure in his face, he's going to just throw lasers. And was that pretty much your takeaway as well?
Yeah, he looked good. Very accurate. The velocity is very impressive to me. I also thought, you know, the way that he handled himself after the session and the confidence he spoke with, and the way his teammates raved about him. And he actually set up a throwing session or a walkthrough on Thursday night before. So I believe he got his playbook a long time ago, but there was a handful of these rookies who actually received theirs on like Thursday morning, like 24 hours prior to the start of a rookie minicamp. And so he got this really big group together. He sent a message. I guess they have like this whole chat, and he sent a message in there, and he got a whole lot of people to come out and walk through it. And he said after the practice that one of the guys that was there walked up and said like, hey, that really helped. And you know, I think it shows where his mind is at right now, as far as trying to establish himself as, you know, that quality locker room leader. And he said this too, that, you know, with where he's at, leading by example will be very important for him, because he is, you know, not exactly in a position of power with his voice to where, you know, his words are overly important at you know, this stage in his young career. But I think you could really see the humility that he has, but also that confidence. There's a very clear sense of swagger I think he has, that like, he thinks he's, you know, he's very confident in what he'll be able to accomplish. In terms of on the field, for, again, as you said, he's throwing against air, right? And there's not, you know, a pass rush or you know, any type of coverage, because they had 7-on-7s later in the session. I think Raheem said they had one competitive session, and that was closed from us, unfortunately. But for what we had and what we saw, very accurate. Accuracy in those settings is also obviously not the easiest task either, right? Because you're throwing to receivers who you've known for 24 hours or less. And a lot of those guys won't be on NFL rosters here in about 4 or 5 months. So I thought he looked good. His arm is legitimate. But I was just as impressed with what he was – with how he handled himself off the field at the start of minicamp as much as on it.
Yeah, yeah, and that does make sense. You know, we were talking about a guy that's, you know, fifth-year senior, has had a lot of experience at the college level, is used to leading a team, you know, is used to doing these types of things. And that is a bonus you get when you draft a more experienced quarterback, is they're going to be farther along in their leadership and stuff like that, and their team building capabilities than someone who's 20 years old and has played college football for a handful of years. You know, that's just how it goes. And not that young players can't be good leaders or experienced players are automatically great ones. It's just that he's further along in that regard than a lot of guys coming out of the draft. So that's encouraging to hear, obviously. Excited about that. We're obviously going to be watching him incredibly closely over the course of the rest of the offseason and into training camp. Yeah, curious if any of the receivers that were there stood out. I know that's always one of the most fun things that fans like, is like, okay, who's catching the pass is great. I know we didn't get to see any 7-on-7 or 1-on-1, so it's probably, you know, a little bit of projection needed. But yeah, I know like Isaiah Wooden is definitely somebody that I'm watching closely given his athletic profile and stuff like that. But I don't know if anyone stood out to you so far.
I thought QC Washington had a really good day. He's another guy I think is a joy to talk to. Just really, really, you know, positive and upbeat and very energetic. But I also thought on the field, very good hands, very smooth operator. Is it Jaquay Jackson from Rutgers?
Yeah,
undrafted free agent. I thought he had a pretty solid day as well. Those were the two guys to me that, you know, when I think about the receivers that I saw, they kind of stick out. A lot of people may have some not very kind words for Chris Blair after the video of, you know, the drop that he had. That was unfortunate. I was telling a friend, like, I actually kind of feel bad that he's like a part of that video, because the intent of the video was not to get Chris Blair dragged, you know. But yeah, that was an unfortunate side effect of that. He had kind of a rough day. He had a few drops. But yeah, I thought that Washington, you know, obviously he was the highest drafted skill position player that was on the field that Friday, because McClellan was, you know, inside. And so I thought Washington handled it pretty well. I thought he looked the part. I think Joe Patrick was saying after the session that, like, he looked at Washington, he kind of thought, like, is this really, you know, a wideout? Like, he almost looks like a linebacker with, like, how lanky he is. And, you know, he just really impressed me with how composed and just how humble and just really how compassionate he seemed to be. And I thought that was particularly impressive. With Jaquay Jackson, I thought it was, he looked pretty quick to me, athletic, like the hands. I think there's kind of something to work with there. And Atlanta was interested in quite a few undrafted free agent receivers, but I want to say that he was the first one to sign. And so I do think there might be a little bit of intrigue there on Atlanta's behalf. And I thought he played up to it on Friday.
Yeah. Yeah. No, it definitely sounds like people should be monitoring all these guys. I mean, that's obviously the first day. So no one's, you know, winning a roster spot or anything on the first day of rookie mini camp, but it's nice to see an encouraging start for a couple of these guys that are going to be fighting hard to make this roster. And, you know, the Falcons didn't, other than the guys they traded for and signed, you know, there's opportunity, certainly, especially given that the team is going to be going to probably a lot more wide receiver focus in this new offense. So probably going to be keeping a bunch on the practice squad too. So these guys have a lot of opportunity to potentially find themselves on an active roster in Atlanta or otherwise and that position in general should be a lot more emphasized in this new offense. Yeah. So excited to see how that turns out. But yeah, I know we mostly the draft consisted of defensive players. I don't know how much you can really glean from anyone in minicamp, but a lot of new faces out there. I know you mentioned the sort of bond between Dorlus and Logue and Aroro was really great. But any other takeaways from the first time laying eyes on those guys?
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code POD to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code POD at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code POD.
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply. See ebaymotors.com.
How about Cap'n Crunch's Crunch Berries with breakfast?
Whoa, Dad, we're on
Crunch Island. He's Sean LeFoot.
And he stole our crunch.
Quick, the zip line.
He's getting away.
Throw our last crunch berry.
No!
No one steals my crunch berries.
I think you mean my crunch berries. Choose your own crunch venture with Cap'n Crunch.
Yeah, I can't remember if this was on or off air, but just how big Zion Logue is.
Yeah.
That was
he's a big boy.
That was something.
Yeah.
He's a big boy. In the words of Anthony Edwards, he is a big boy. I thought that was kind of funny. He started talking about like that in college, him and Anthony Edwards, I think they arrived at Georgia in 2019 together. So they were kind of friends a little bit. But he said that Anthony wouldn't always remember his name, and so he just called him Big Boy. which it was accurate. I mean, he's 6'6", 314, right? So he is a rather large individual. But I thought the sheer size, the sheer energy and athleticism of, you know, the three linemen in particular was pretty impressive. I didn't really get to watch a whole lot of them. But you could also just tell, you know, the way they're built. And also I thought it was kind of interesting hearing them talk afterwards about, you know, the variety of roles that they feel like they can play. I thought that was all pretty interesting. And I think Brandon Dorlus has such like a great energy to him. And even he was talking about like Ruka Roro is like this big energy guy who like, you know, in the locker room, whenever you're having kind of like a slow, you know, like slouching around, he's like, let's go, come on. And he's just like this great juice guy, you know. And I think that, you know, this rookie class of linemen is going to be really, really fun to cover just because they have such a great sense of energy. And I do think it's kind of funny because I'd say that Brandon and Rook are very, very lively and, you know, like always smiling. And I think Braylon Trice is just like laser focused and like, you know, very serious and straightforward about it. And I thought it was kind of funny just kind of seeing the way that those three in particular are wired. But I think they have a very strong chance, especially Trice, of you know, impacting sooner rather than later. But I thought that was kind of a funny thing of like, man, you have like a three pick time span. You get a few guys who are like, whoa, you know, and then you get one guy who's like really like pulled back. And I don't know, but it was all very high character guys, though. Very high character.
Yeah, no, it's always interesting to actually get to meet these guys, especially like if you're not on the scouting circuit and you're not actually interviewing or talking up these guys a lot. You know, it's interesting to get in there and finally, you know, put a face to the name, so to speak, and see how these guys are like, because it's usually they're a lot of players are just very different the way they interact with the media, the way they interact on the field. It's always fun to kind of learn that side of them, that the human side, that, you know, the scouting reports and the analytics, they don't tell you anything about that side. And that's an important part of the equation. Sure. Maybe one of the most important parts at the end of the day. It's also the hardest to figure out pre-draft. So always fun to get eyes on those guys and see how things are coming along. I know the Falcons like ended up signing some guys from the tryout, like Dane Cruikshank, the safety. And I believe, I'm losing track. Who was the other one they signed? It was Bradley and I. Yeah. Yeah. I don't know if you saw anything from those guys, but I thought those were kind of interesting signings, both veterans that they ended up bringing in. Obviously, Anai is a former fifth rounder who I was a fan of coming out of college. Didn't seem like he was able to catch on with the Jets. I think he was a fifth round pick. And then Cruikshank is a veteran from like 2019. He's been pretty all around the league, but great athlete, someone who spent a lot of time as like a depth player and occasionally starter, but mostly depth. So seems like they agree with my take on Wednesday's show that they needed to add depth to safety. But interesting that they brought in Anai as well to what looks like kind of a crowded edge room. So I don't know if you saw anything from those guys or what you think about those additions.
Yeah, I didn't really see anything from them. What I heard, which I found interesting, was Raheem, prior to that practice beginning, went out of his way to kind of mention the veteran tryout players and you know, he in particular mentioned Anai. Anai was the only one that he actually said the name of, which off the top of his head, again, for what you can glean from that, is that he was, you know, rather intrigued. And then they went out, they watched him practice one time and signed him, you know. So I tend to think there is a little bit of intrigue there around what he can do, what he can bring. I kind of think Cruikshank's an interesting player too, especially, you know, some of the how extensive, like if you look at what he's accomplished in the league and what Anai's accomplished, like there's a very large gap in playing time between those two. I think Cruikshank's been like 54, 64 games as a pro, a few starts mixed in as well. Very, very established veteran. Anai, to me, I think there's, you know, you kind of mentioned it too at Utah, how good he was there. I remember I was a fan of his too. Yeah. And so very productive player there, very productive player. Hasn't really had, I think he played 11 games as a Cowboy and last game was in 21, I believe. So hasn't played a professional snap in the regular season and it'll be 3 years this fall. So sure there's a reason for that, or maybe there's not, maybe, you know, he'll show something over the summer. I do think, but yeah, I thought that part that stood out to me, that Raheem went out of his way to mention Anai. And so I think that if you're trying to like glean small things, that's one thing that like may want to star that one and kind of store that one away for later this summer when Atlanta starts reaching that phase of camp where, you know, there actually are like one-on-ones and pads and, you know, is he, you know, he'll look the part. I think he's a really solid, I think he has a pretty solid like frame to him. And again, pretty solid college track record, but I think you want to see it, you know, in practice in those preseason games, obviously. And I'm excited to kind of see that. Cause I do think that he's got maybe a little bit more intrigue from that coaching staff than your average veteran tryout player might.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. And He's someone that's very interesting. He played a bit of special teams for Dallas. He played, you know, I think he's only played like 56 total snaps on defense, but he did have a quarterback hit in 2020, he played six snaps and had a quarterback hit. So at least he was productive in those six snaps. I mean, that's a pretty good pressure rate at that point. So, but yeah, it's you know, he's definitely someone that's interesting. And yeah, I mean, he seems like he's bounced around a bit. I think he was with the Jets in 2022. And then he was with the Jets again in 2023, but ended up on IR in the summer, which ended his season. And now, of course, coming into 2024 was a free agent and is back out there. So he's been around the league, certainly, the last few years. It's not like necessarily Kevin King or whatever, where he was kind of out of the league for a year or two and now is back. This is, you know, he's been on practice squads. He's been with teams and still just 26. So there could potentially be some untapped potential there. Definitely someone that I liked. And yeah, with Cruikshank, that seems more of like a, this is actual veteran depth like that we're looking for here. We want another guy that's had lots of NFL experience. And he certainly checks that box. One of the most, other, 56 games. I mean, he might have the most snaps of most games played of any safety not named Jesse Bates on the roster at this point. So, which just goes to show how much of a youth movement there has been on this defense, in terms of the secondary in particular. And that's just another example of that. But always good to get some veterans in here. I think that's something that I thought they needed. So I'm glad they've made a move there. We'll see what else happens, because I think they're sitting at 87 now. So there's three spots open, and we'll see if when those get filled on the way to training camp. But definitely an interesting opening. It's always fun to see these guys for the first time. Anything else you want to touch on rookie minicamp or otherwise, Daniel, before we sign off today?
Yeah, I do think there's one other thing. J.D. Bertrand, they love him. Raheem Morris loves J.D. Bertrand. And I just, it's kind of interesting to me, just because, like, you wouldn't really think about a fifth-round linebacker as being this, big guy to write a whole story about, but he's got such an interesting, like, the whole Captain America idea. And Raheem Morris loves J.D. Bertrand, and I think that as we move through the offseason here and into his rookie season, I'm very curious to see how much he's used. I'm sure he'll have a very prominent role on special teams. But I think they have like a subtle confidence that he may end up being a little bit more than just this big special teams player. Like Raheem Morris has gone to bat for J.D. Bertrand more passionately, in my opinion, than just about any other draft pick that they have. And I'm very intrigued to kind of monitor where this plays out for him, because it's blown me away every time that Raheem has been asked about J.D. Bertrand or even not asked. Kind of like, I think there was one time after the draft, he went out of his way and was just raving about him. And it's like, man, this is he's very, very, very fond of J.D. Bertrand. And so I'm excited to kind of watch how that plays out.
Yeah, no, that's a good one. I've always been a fan of like fifth, sixth round linebackers, just because like, you find starters there like a lot. Like that's one of those positions where just like it's kind of devalued. Obviously the super athletic, super big linebackers go early, but other than that, like there's starting caliber linebackers you can get on day three. You see them every single year. So I'm always a fan of the day three linebacker pick. And Bertrand, his scouting profile being super, cerebral, smart, instinctive linebacker, it's like that's the type of guy they find their way on the field early if they can. So I'm definitely with you there. I think he's a super interesting one to watch. And given the depth chart, he's probably going to have to work his way up a bit. But, I think you can already pencil him in as the fourth linebacker. And basically, we'll see if he can get past, Nate Landman or Troy Anderson. That's definitely a tall order. But it's always nice to have a guy like that as your fourth linebacker, because linebacker is one of those positions, guys miss time. So it's always good to have good depth there, and obviously the special teams contributions too. But the Captain America story is fun, because he does have a little bit of that look to him. And I guess he was saying like his room was like flooded with merch when he came back one day, just a bunch of like Captain America merch. That's pretty funny. So maybe we'll get a training camp date where they'll have him like in full regalia or something. So
it wouldn't shock me if he shows up in it. Like, apparently they got him like a stuffed animal. They got him a ton of stuff apparently for his birthday. So they're all in on it. They're that's fully fun. Committed to the bid, and I'm sure at some point it'll come back around.
Yeah, that's fun. Looking forward to that. Looking forward to more. I know you'll be boots on the ground there for OTAs as well and all that good stuff. Daniel, we appreciate all your hard work there. I'm not going to fly down from Syracuse for like one day. Yes, it's just not worth it for me, but yeah, it's tough sell for me. I can't, I tried pitching that to Dave and it just not going over super well. So, but I'm glad you are there. And we can get all the great intel. Appreciate you doing that. Anything else? I know you're working on some stories from that as well. Anything you would like to let the people know about?
I'd say probably not. I think you kind of covered it pretty well. SI.com/NFL/Falcons for all of my stories from rookie minicamp, from whatever else, you know, the rest of the offseason entails. So as always, Kevin, appreciate you. Glad to come back on whenever. Really enjoy it. And appreciate all of the tremendous Falcoholic listeners out there.
Yes, we all appreciate you guys. Thank you guys so much. Thanks to Daniel. He's at by Daniel Flick on the Twitter X, whatever they're calling it these days. I'm Kevin Knight at Falcoholic Kevin. Please do like and subscribe if you enjoyed this episode. Leave that 5-star review on your podcast platform of choice. If you're interested in getting involved with our Patreon and YouTube channel members, you can sign up on those respective platforms and get in on our cool off-season content. We're going to be firing up the fantasy leagues again here in a little bit. So if you want to get involved in those Patreon fantasy leagues, it's a good time. Sign up for all tiers. You get in on all tiers. So don't have to worry about, you know, if you want to give us more money, that's great. But all tiers do get access to that. So cool stuff there. Definitely look forward to more coverage of all the Falcons happenings. We'll see if we get any more roster additions as we get closer to camp. But guys, thanks again so much for tuning into the Dirty Birds and Brews podcast. Today's show was, of course, brought to you by Bet Online. We will see you next time. Have a great day, folks.
How about Cap'n Crunch's Crunch Berries with breakfast?
Whoa, Dad, we're on
Crunch Island. He's John LaFoot.
And he stole our crunch.
Quick, the zip line.
He's getting away.
Throw our last crunch berry.
No!
No one steals my crunch berries.
I think you mean my crunch berries. Choose your own crunch venture with Cap'n Crunch.
When raising a Pacifico beer with friends you just met turns into hitting up their friend's local art show, getting inspired to create something together, and painting your first mural, you found what was waiting for you. Pacifico. Life's waiting. 21 plus only. Discover responsibly. Pacifico Clara Beer. Imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
The South Dakota Stories, Volume 7. My trip to South Dakota was the best summer ever. Now I don't need to go to Mars, because I've been to the Badlands. And I caught a bigger walleye than Dad when we went to the Missouri River. Then I rode my bike through these huge rocks called needles. Ooh, I also saw my first herd of bison, even a fuzzy furry baby one. I can't wait to go back and see more. There's so much South Dakota, so little time.
Look around. You can find cars like these on AutoTrader, like that car riding your tail. Or if you're tailgating right now, all those cars doubling as kitchens and living rooms are on AutoTrader too. Are you working out and listening to this ad at the same time? Well, multitasking pro, cars like the ones in the gym parking lot are for sale on AutoTrader. New cars, used cars, electric cars, maybe even flying cars. Okay, no flying cars, but as soon as they get invented, they'll be on AutoTrader. Just you wait. AutoTrader.
Hey parents, Greenlight is here to take one big thing off your to-do list, teaching your kids about money. With a Greenlight debit card and money app of their own, kids and teens learn to earn, save, and invest. You can send money instantly, set flexible controls, and get real-time notifications of your kids' money activity. Set up chores and put allowance on autopilot to reward them for their hard work. Then, learn about the world of money together. Get 1 month free when you sign up at greenlight.com/podcast.